Isaiah 61, I'm going to read just the first handful of verses in this chapter. And we're going to preach a message this morning entitled, What You Can Get for Your Ashes. What You Can Get for Your Ashes. Let's all stand to our feet. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these sweet, sweet words, Lord, all these many years ago. Good night. Lord, your Holy Spirit moved Isaiah, took him up like a pen, and wrote these beautiful words, Lord. These are not the words of Isaiah. These are the words of Almighty God. Lord, may our hearts be stirred by them. Lord, may we get a fresh vision. For some, maybe, Lord, they will see clearly, Lord, how deceptive Satan is in trying to manipulate our minds and manipulate, Lord, our the way we view, Lord, our precious God. And so help us, Lord. I pray again, if there's someone here without Christ, they'd be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. I had a conversation about 3 weeks ago with a man that, you know how you'll witness to somebody, they won't get saved, and it'll just bother you. And by the way, more people don't get saved than do get saved that you share the gospel with. The Bible says, the broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, few there be that find it. So it's part of witnessing. It's part of sharing the gospel. The very fact of the matter is there's going to be more people that turn Christ down than take him up. There'll be more people that decide to be an unbeliever than a believer. It's just the way it is. But sometimes I think what is so hurtful to the soul winner is, of course, we have an eternal view, a biblical view of the decision that they're making. And I hope I never lose that. I hope I can never just watch somebody turn down Christ and just say, oh, well, too bad, their problem. I hope it always breaks my heart. I hope I can always go back to my car and shed a few tears. Because, folks, there is no more important thing in the world. There is no important more decision in the world than for someone to choose Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I talked to this man, had an opportunity to go through the scriptures with him, and you could tell that the man was under conviction. You could tell that God was dealing with his heart. This was not just a man that flippantly or just politely was listening. God was dealing. And yet at the end of it, he took inventory of his life and he took inventory in his mind. You can almost see him weighing out the decision and the ramifications of the decision. And he finally looked at me and he said, preacher, you know what? I know that you're right. But he said, I just feel like that I'd have to give up so much. And I don't always do this, and I don't always say this. I'm not always this blunt. But I said to him, sir, that's the biggest lie the devil's ever told anybody. But it's amazing how many times. Is that the first time you've heard that, preacher? No. I've heard that scores of times, maybe hundreds of times in my life. I just feel like I'd have to give up so much. And people love their sin. Sometimes they just do. They love their sin. They love their sinful lifestyle. Now, of course, for someone who's been saved and now they're looking back to that decision in their life, man alive, that kind of a statement, of course, we realize the foolishness of that. You see, folks, here's the message. God never ask you to give up anything. God asks you to trade in some things. Now think about it that way. That's the whole thing. That's the way you've got to look at it. God didn't ask you to give up anything when you're salvation. He asks you to trade in some things when you get saved. Me and my wife, several times, different homes that we've owned have had either a wood burner or a fireplace or some kind of a firebox. And so I've had a lot of experience. Matter of fact, I love that kind of heat. To this day, we would have a wood burner in our house, except for the fact that my wife does suffer from some asthma problems. And the fine ash that produces, even as careful as you are, sometimes really irritates her asthma. So we've had to kind of just said wood burning's not going to be for us. But I do like just an old-fashioned wood stove. I like a fireplace. Every once in a while, we'll go to, in the wintertime, to Cracker Barrel. And those of you that have been there, you know, I can't, every time I go in there, I head right to the fireplace and just stand there and just kind of go like this. I don't, even if I'm not cold, I just go like this. And it's just, I like to get a table where I can watch it. There's something about it. We grew up, we camped out a lot just as kids and whatnot. And it was always a big deal to make a fire. It was always a big deal just to watch it burn. But folks, everyone that's had a wood burner or had these experiences understand that there's a byproduct of watching something be utterly consumed. And that byproduct is ashes. Ashes are the byproduct of something that's been utterly consumed. I mean, everything that's good and gracious and usable has been taken from it. And all that's left is ashes. The honest truth is, please, if you don't believe me, please listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart. But you can serve the world and you can serve the devil. But I'll tell you, all it'll do is just consume the best things in your life and leave you with nothing but ashes. It's amazing, as I watched that man, I could almost picture, as I'm looking at that man, knowing that God's dealing with his heart, knowing he's under conviction. And I could see him as if he was a man sitting in a trash heap with two hands full of ashes, clutching onto the ashes, every once in a while opening it up and looking to make sure the ashes are still there, checking the ashes, and then looking up at a preacher and say, "Preacher, you don't understand. I'd have to give up so much. I'd have to give up so much." Now, from a Christian standpoint, looking back, that's easy to see. But isn't it amazing how the devil can trick a lost man into looking at ashes and thinking that they're the most important things in the world? They don't want to give up the ashes. Now, in Isaiah chapter 61, of course, Jesus used this portion of Scripture for the first sermon that he preached there in Nazareth. It was his coming out ceremony. He literally, think about this, Jesus literally preached his own ordination service that day. And he launched his ministry from that simple synagogue there in Nazareth. And he turned to Isaiah chapter 61. And he read these verses as a prophecy that these were applicable to him, but not just to Christ, to every single person that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. And this first verse just talks about the importance and the impact of the gospel. Notice what it says. He's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Talking about preaching on end times, on the coming of Christ, the day of vengeance of our God. Talking about preaching on the tribulation period, the preaching, old-fashioned preaching on hell. Why do all these things? Why share the gospel? Why preach on the last days? Why preach on eternity and what awaits? To comfort all that mourn. Why? So that folks will come to Jesus Christ. So folks will receive Christ as Savior. Then verse 3, I believe, talks about what happens when somebody does get saved. And you know what? The difference that God begins to make in their life. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that He might be glorified. Now, folks, listen to me. What the Bible's saying here is that, you know what? You may be meek, and you may be brokenhearted, and you may be a captive, and you may be in prison. We're talking about spiritually here, and if you are dead in trespasses and sins, that's all true. Thank God. God sends men of God to a pulpit to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God. Why? So that you can know that Christ loves you. So that you can know that Christ died for you. Me and Brother John sat in the house of a man yesterday, and you know what he wanted to talk about? The comparing of religions and human wisdom and human education, and he kept wandering all around, and I said, wait, stop. Let me just simplify everything. Can I just boil the Bible down to its very essence and tell you that the Bible's main message is good news, a gospel story. God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. You know, it's, folks, the devil wants to complicate everything, make people have all of these crazy thoughts. He wants man-made religion to confuse people. But it's so simple. The gospel's so simple. God looked down at a lost man. We're all sinners. We're all hopelessly lost without Christ. And you know what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the message that we... Listen, folks, I appreciate everything that needs to be said and everything that needs to be preached and all that the Bible has to teach. But don't forget the simplicity of the gospel. Don't forget to just get back to the gospel. Somebody wants to bring this argument up at work, or they want to give you this their opinion, or they want to talk about something they saw on TV. You know what? I can listen for a while, but after a while I just have to say, wait. All you're doing is muddying the water. Let's get back to the main message of the Bible. God loves you. You're a sinner. You're lost. Jesus came down as the perfect sacrifice, died on an old rugged cross, paid for your sins. And you know what? Right now he's offering you the gift of eternal life. Take it. That's what we've all been called to do. I mean, that's something we ought to be saying, not once or twice a week, but over and over at every opportunity that God gives us. We ought to just get back to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we can. Here they sit in the trash pile. Here they sit with their hands full of ashes. Oh, but I'd have to give up so much. Listen to me. You're not giving up anything. You're trading in some things. And the Bible gives us this wonderful phrase. If you haven't underlined this in your Bible, you ought to. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The lost man clings on to the ashes of life, and he doesn't want to give them up, and the devil sits on his shoulder and talks about, trying to convince him how valuable the ashes are. Yet God has beauty. He says, give me those ashes, I'll give you beauty. Give me that broken heart, I'll give you the oil of joy. Give me your spirit of heaviness, I'll give you a praise of garment. You know what? I want you to become trees of righteousness, the planting of God. I want to take your life and transform it. You know why? So that I, here's God saying this, so that I can receive glory from your life. Hey, let me tell you this morning what you can get for your ashes, all right? Here's what you can get for your ashes. Number one, you can get the beauty of peace for the ashes of fear. The beauty of peace for the ashes of fear. Now, don't try to con me. If you're lost, you're without Jesus Christ, the honest truth is there's times you fear death. You lay in bed and you think about it at night. There's a fear that comes with being lost, a fear of what's waiting on the other side, a fear of the afterlife, a fear of eternity, a fear of the unknown. But I can tell you this, my personal testimony, the day that I got saved, there was a peace that flooded my soul. Before that, I'd lay in my bed and wonder what would happen if I was to die. But all of a sudden, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior one day. I decided that, you know what, I was that lost sinner that Christ died for, and I was going to humble my heart and repent of my sin and turn to Christ and plead the blood and ask Christ to save me. And God took away that ashes of fear that I was clutching on to. And he said, let me trade you something for that. Give me those ashes of fear, and I'll give you the beauty of peace. Listen, there's a peace that comes with being saved. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll just read you these verses. We read these a lot at the gravesite, sometimes at funerals. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. When Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross, he took the sins of the whole world, and he paid for our sins when he died on the cross. When they put him in the ground for 3 days, he laid there. But he rose from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. He defeated death. Listen, he pulled the stinger off death. Death can't hurt us anymore. Death is just a pathway to glory for the saved. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Here we is. Here's lost people all through our community hanging on to those ashes of fear. Well, if you don't believe it, you go to a funeral. You can pick them out. Preached enough funerals. Dad's preaching to Brother Schindler. You've seen it. Brother Simpson, you've seen it. Brother, when you're preaching a funeral, you can almost tell by the looks on the faces who's saved and who's lost. They got to stop their lives. All of a sudden, God halts everything they're doing. They have to come. It's a family member. It's a dear friend. They have to come, and they have to sit, and they have to sit there and look at a casket, and they have to contemplate death. And you know what? There's confusion, and there's fear. And let me tell you something, folks. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. The beauty of peace for the ashes of fear. How about this? God says to the lost person, he says, hey, let me have those ashes of guilt, and I'll give you the beauty of forgiveness. The beauty of forgiveness for the ashes of guilt. Let me take you over to Luke chapter 7. I want to read this story to you. I read it this morning, and I was so blessed by it. I said, you know what? I think instead of reading it to them, I'm just going to have them look at it themselves. Luke chapter 7. Look at verse number 36. There's one phrase in this story. I'm going to read the whole story. It won't take long, but there's a beautiful phrase I want you to get. Luke chapter number 7, and look at verse number 36. Get this. Pay attention to it, if you will. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. This is Luke 7:36. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city. Notice this. Which was a sinner. By the way, that Pharisee was a sinner too. That could be said of everybody. It's just some people know it and some people don't. Some people's got open sin. Some people's got little hidden sanctified sin. We're all sinners before God. Getting this? She was a sinner when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet, behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears. Do you get that? Do you see repentance here? Do you see a humility here? Do you see that here's a hopeless woman that said, I can't get help anywhere, but I believe Jesus is who he said he is. She wiped them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisees, which had been him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Well, there's so many people like that. Be careful of that. We talk about the sinners. Well, I'm a sinner. So are you. So are you. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. So 550. That's the comparison. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him the most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Here's humility versus pride, folks. Repentance versus stubbornness. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Belief versus unbelief. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same hath loveth much. Watch this, watch this, watch this. He's done talking to the Pharisees. He's done talking to Simon. And he says this, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Woo! Man, that just charged me up this morning. I had an old-fashioned Holy Ghost fit in my office this morning while most of you were eating donuts. Amen. Thy sins are forgiven. And you know what? I wasn't thinking about that woman when I read that verse. I was thinking about Jerry Ross. I was thinking about coming to Christ at an old-fashioned altar, lost and under conviction of sin. And you know what? I called out to Christ. I repented. I said, Christ, I want to receive you as my Savior. And you know what? I didn't hear an audible voice that day, but I believe with all my heart, Jesus looked down from the throne sitting by the Father and said, thy sins are forgiven. All of a sudden, I didn't have to walk around with the guilt of sin anymore. Have to walk around with the guilt of being under condemnation of sin. I knew that I was forgiven. What a wonderful thing to be clean. What a wonderful thing to have your sins separated as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. You know what God did? He said, bring me the book of his life. You know, there's a book of everybody's life in heaven. Heaven's got a library. And he opened it up and he said, you just take the blood and you cover everything that's sinful in that man's life. By the way, he didn't just take all my sins and cover them in his sweet blood. He said, by the way, take my righteousness and put it in his book. Are you getting this morning? Now listen, you don't have that if you're not saved. It's not that I have that and you don't because I'm better than you, because I'm not. I had that, you don't, if you're not saved, because I came to a day where I decided I was going to believe the Bible and I was going to humble my heart and I was going to stop walking around like, you know what, I could in my own righteousness satisfy God's requirements. I can't do that. Here I am, so many people are clutching onto their pride. They're clutching on, even though the guilt of their sin, they carry it. The Bible talks about being laden with sin. By the way, sin upon sin upon sin ladens a man, it ladens a woman. Every year of your life that you lived in an unsafe condition, sin upon sin upon sin stacks up. It almost bends a person over spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And I'm telling you, there's only one place you can get that burden lifted. The guilt that comes with sin. You know what? We stand there with our ashes. Preacher, I'm sorry, I just have to give so much up. What do you mean you have to give it up? You don't have to give anything up. You just trade it in. Standing there clutching on your ashes of guilt, and Jesus wants to give you the beauty of forgiveness. How about this? Boy, I'll tell you what a blessing being saved. The ashes, how about this? The beauty of comfort for the ashes of loneliness. The beauty of comfort for the ashes of loneliness. You know, four times in the book of John, I'll read the verses to you. Four times in the book of John, God, the Son of God, called the Holy Spirit of God the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, and shall be in you. Did you get that? And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. John 14. 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Listen to me, I can't get into a doctrinal teaching. I can't go into the depths of what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit of God. But understand this, folks, we serve a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit of God. When you accept the Son of God, whom the Father sent to pay for our sins, you know what God does the minute you get saved? He sends the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you know what? That Spirit comes in and reborns our spirit and gives us the new birth. But he doesn't just come and do his job and then go away. He indwells us. He takes up residence inside of us. You can't see it, and I can't see it in you. But I promise you, look at me. Please look at me for a minute. Right now, in this temple of this body dwells a part of the triune God. The Holy Spirit of God's inside of me. And you know what? You can only get that when you get saved. Before you got saved, you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. After you get saved, you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Before you're saved, there's loneliness. People are miserable. People are comfortless. You know what? They're running to everything. They're trying to find comfort. They're trying to get comfort through the bottle at the bar. They're trying to get comfort through illicit sex. They're trying to get comfort through drugs. They just go pleasure mad. Maybe if I just fill my life with everything that seems fun. You know what? Old Solomon told us, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said, I went down that road. I tried that. You know what? That's a dead end road. There's nothing at the end of that road. You know what? Because there's this big empty hole in your heart. There's a spirit that's dead in trespasses and sin. And the only way the Holy Spirit of God will come in and rebirth your spirit is if you bow your knee at an old rugged cross. That's where it happens. Then the Holy Spirit of God comes in. And then all of a sudden you have this wonderful presence of God that lives inside of you. Did you notice he said he'll teach you all things? You read the Bible, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts teaching you things from the Bible. You know what? You need direction. He all of a sudden, well, Lord, please guide me today. And if you'll listen to that still small voice, he'll lead you from one place to another. He'll help you to keep those divine appointments. When you pray, sometimes you say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. And the Holy Spirit says, I know what to pray. And sometimes he makes intercession for us. We don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit does. He's the Spirit of truth, and he is that great comforter. He comes alongside of you when you're brokenhearted, you're going through difficult things, you don't know which way to go. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm looking at this lost man. He's clutching his ashes. Ashes of loneliness. Ashes of loneliness. Trying to live a life with no God direction in his life, no God presence in his body. And he says, I just feel like I'd have to give up so much. I think to myself, bro, throw those ashes down. God will take and give you something better than that. You can have the beauty of the presence of the Comforter for the ashes of loneliness. Here's another one. The beauty of blessings for the ashes of wrath. The beauty of blessings for the ashes of wrath. You know, let me remind you of this. If you're lost, God's angry with you. Wait a minute, Brother Jerry. What did you say? Did I hear that right? I need to say this. The Bible says, Psalm 7:11, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. It's a wicked thing to not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a wicked thing to trample over the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a wicked thing to walk around with a pompous heart full of pride, thinking that you're good enough through your good works to get to heaven. Jesus just wasted what he did on the cross. You don't need that. It's a wicked thing. If you're unsaved, it's a wicked thing. And the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, John 3:36. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, let me just share something with you. If you're unsaved, God's not your friend. God's your enemy. You've made yourself an enemy of God. Let's just stay right here. Let's just stay right here. There's no neutral, there's no middle ground there, there's no halfway there. You know what? The Bible's very plain there. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How about Isaiah or Psalms 5:6? Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I'm not a child of disobedience. Yes, you are. If you know what? If you've been preached the gospel and told the gospel and you've refused the gospel, you've disobeyed the wishes and will of Almighty God for your life. Are you listening to me? Listen, folks, you can get up if you want to every day thinking, you know what? I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need Bible. I don't need old time religion. I don't need salvation. But you know what? You get up every day and God resists you every day. And I'm sitting there watching people clutching onto their ashes, the ashes of their pride. You know what? The honest truth is, if you'd throw those ashes down and fall down at an altar, receive Christ as your Savior, instead of God resisting you every day, God would begin to bless you every day. All of a sudden, you're His child. And let me say this. Every parent knows that you're going to make sure your children are taken care of one way or another. You're going to make sure they're taken care of. Are you getting this? Standing there with this clutching. I love this. How about Ephesians 1:1? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Notice that. Grace be to you and peace. That's not written to lost people. That's written to save people. From God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know what that's telling us? Paul was writing a bunch of Christians say, hey, you know what? You're no longer under the wrath of God. You're no longer under the commendation of God. You don't abide under the wrath of God. Since you got saved, God wants to bless you, and God has blessings available for you. Listen, you go ahead and clutch onto that. You know what? No one's going to make me go to an altar. Well, no, we're not here to make you go to an altar. You got a free will. God says to preach the gospel. God says to tell you the truth. You've got to choose for yourself. What a foolish thing to clutch onto the ashes of pride and ashes of wrath of God upon your life, while God says, hey, just let go of that. I'll trade you something for it. I'll trade you the blessings of God. I heard somebody the other day say this, and I had to again. I've just got the point. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old. They always tell me old people just say whatever because you don't start caring anymore. But I'm almost tired of being nice. And I don't know. Maybe sometimes it's not so nice to be nice. And I don't mean mean. I don't mean caustic. I don't mean arrogance. I just think sometimes we don't speak the truth enough. We just don't say the truth enough. How in the world is a sinner going to be? You know, folks, stop listening to people give excuses and then just bobbleheading. Why don't you biblically challenge those excuses in their life? I remember the other day somebody was talking about how their life was so happy and they didn't need Christ and all of this stuff. And I just looked at him and I said, you know what, you're a liar. Now, everybody else here wants to sit here and listen to this, that's fine. Everybody else wants to act like, but I'm going to tell you, you're lying and you know you're lying. And all of a sudden, man, a shock came on the man's face. And I said, listen, bro, I've been without Christ and I've been with Christ. The honest truth is, your life isn't going so good. Come on, be honest. How's your life really going? Come on, be honest. How is your life really going? You know what? That's what we're supposed to do. As Christians, especially as men of God, boy, sometimes we just need to call people to account. And all of a sudden, just instead of anger, all of a sudden he got this crestfallen look. You know what the honest truth is? They want to put on this facade. Oh, yeah, I'm having a great time. Yeah. No, you're not. Because ashes doesn't bring happiness. Beauty brings happiness. How about this? The beauty of purpose for the ashes of wandering. You know, for so long, you clutch in onto those ashes. You do not want God, but you wander through life without ever figuring out why you were put here. How about Psalms 32:8? Pastor Ross quoted this so many times. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Wonderful. What a wonderful thing to be saved where all of a sudden God begins to direct your life. How about Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. You know what? Before you get saved, you know what? You're just kind of wandering through life, and you have no divine direction. You have no divine guidance. And all of a sudden you get saved, give your life to Jesus Christ, and you discover God put you here for a purpose. You know, the saddest thing about being not getting saved is that you never, never find the will of God for your life. You waste the life that God's given you. Every single person has an opportunity, a chance to get saved. That's the will of God, that you be saved. But after you get saved, God has a direction, a purpose in your life. Listen, every day that you put off salvation is a day that you cannot live in the will of God. You cannot find what God has you to do. Listen, God could save some of you here that are lost, or some of you that are backslidden, get you back on track, and your life could have an impact over hundreds and thousands of people in the years ahead. But every day that you clutch onto your ashes, you're not only wasting your life, you're wasting an opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. Ashes, ashes, ashes. I gotta have my ashes. I'm scared to give up my ashes. Preacher, I feel like I'd have to give up so much. Unbelievable. How about this? The beauty of being a new creature for the ashes of worldliness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yeah, you can have a devilish worldly marriage, or you can have a new Christ-blessed marriage. You can have a devilish worldly home. By the way, how's that going? How's the kids doing? Or you can have a new home where Christ is in the center of it. You can have devilish fleshly desires, or you can have new desires that God gives you. You can go on wandering, or you can be given a direction in life. You can go on without purpose, or you can get a new calling in your life. You can hold on to that hard, unbelieving heart, or you can have God perform the surgery of taking out the heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh, giving you a new heart. Listen, folks, there's proof of it all over this room. Some of you walk in here and you look around and say, wow, look at all these great Christians. I feel out of place. Come see me afterwards. If you knew some of the guys and ladies that were sitting near you, you'd move. If you knew where they were 10 years ago, you'd move. You knew where they were 20 years ago, you would get out of here. Listen, this isn't some place where a bunch of perfect people gather that does never had sin in their life, never had tragedy in their life, never had heartache in their life. This is a place, this is a spiritual hospital where people come who are saved, who are trying to live right for Christ. They get encouragement, they get help, they get healing, they get encouragement. But you know what? They used to have no purpose. All they had was ashes. Come on, go around and talk to them. Seriously, some of them are candid enough and transparent enough to actually talk to you. I'm not saying that they're going to parade all of their sin, hang out all their dirty laundry, but I'll tell you what, there's men and women all over this church that look at you in the eye. Listen, you young people, listen, those of you that are coming in on the buses, it's time to pick Christ. It's time to turn your back on the world. It's time to give up your sin. It's time to come to a Savior. It's time to have your life changed. Listen to me, there's men and women all over this room that wish they had the opportunity you had, that some church would have run a bus and picked them up, given the opportunity at an early age to receive Christ so they didn't have all this junk in their past, all this junk that they still have to deal with. Listen to me. Don't clutch onto those ashes. Give them to Christ. I got to share this one with you. How about this? The beauty of the blessed hope for the ashes of the tribulation period. When the man said this, when he said, I just feel like I'd give up so much. I'm afraid I'd miss so much. My first thought was, yeah. That trumpet blows, one or two things are going to happen. You're going to go on up to heaven. You know what? Spend 7 years. The judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. Then, you know what? The rest of it spent training, riding horses, getting ready to come back with Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to spend 7 years that way, but you know what? Man, you're standing there with your ash. I'm afraid I'll miss something. Well, I'm not me. I'm glad I'm going to miss something. I'm glad I'm going to miss something called the tribulation period. Don't forget this. God speaks of the rapture in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, this is Jesus Christ, folks, here he comes, King of kings, Lord of lords, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5 goes on to give us more information, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Listen, folks, if you get saved, you know what? You get to miss the tribulation period. If you don't get saved, you miss the rapture. I don't know about you, but I don't know why you're clutching onto them ashes. By the way, I don't have time to do it. You ought to get it into the... Listen, if you're a lost person, all right, don't listen to this preacher. Go home. Start in Revelation chapter 1. Read that book. Read Revelation. Listen, I've already made up my mind. Okay, before you make up your mind, before you damn yourself to hell, open a Bible. Read the book of Revelation. You better look at what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Listen, you know why I get so happy when people get saved? Man, we had a good time last Sunday, didn't we? Woo! I've had a good time this year. Somebody asked me at the camp this week, said, Brother Jerry, how's the church going? I said, oh my goodness sakes. I said, I'm scared to say anything. I said, I think we've had the best spring maybe we've ever had. We've had an amazing summer. I said, people have been getting saved, people getting baptized. You wonder why I get so excited? I'm going to tell you what I honestly believe. I could be wrong. I can't set a date. I don't know the mind of God. But I believe every time we see one of these kids riding on that bus, they're out there right now in Children's Church getting preached to. And you know what? Every time one of them gets saved, you watch them come up here. You watch us read the card. Listen, I want you to think about this. Listen, folks, we are in the last of the last of the last day. Christ is coming soon. See, when somebody gets saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they didn't just get saved from hell. I believe with all my heart, they got saved from having to go through the tribulation period. The reason I sometimes get so excited, I'm looking at that little kid, and I'm thinking to myself, instead of the locusts, those demonic locusts that come right out of the pit of hell, you better read about them things. If you're not saved, they're going to come visit you at your house one of these days. If you survive the other things that are coming, if you're still left by then. I look at that little child and I think, you know what? They're not going to have to run screaming down the streets being scorned, being stung by locusts with scorpion tails. Yeah, amen. This is real stuff. No, Brother Jerry, I'm afraid I might miss some. I feel like I have to give up so much. Yeah, you do. You had to give up having to go through that. Instead, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus, safe and sound. Man, that's good. The beauty of heaven for the ashes of hell. We got to end with this. The beauty of heaven for the ashes of hell. Oh, my goodness sakes. If you're lost, folks, like it, lump it, get mad at me if you want to. Leave here, stomp out, I don't care. While you're here, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are on your way to a devil's hell. I was on my way to a devil's hell. You know what? Pride has sent more people to hell than anything else in the world. Pride cometh before destruction. So many people walking around pompous. What I'm talking about, I'm not so bad. Are you as righteous as Jesus Christ? The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a one of us that can hold a candle to the righteousness of Christ. The Bible even said, God looks down at our righteous, our attempts at righteousness, said your righteousness are a filthy rag. That filthy rag's talking about the rags that used to hang off the post in leper colonies, and they would come and wipe off their leprous pus on those posts. He said, those, your righteousness compared to my righteousness looks like that. And yet men stand up and say, I feel like I'm good enough to go to heaven. Mercy sakes. Clutching. I watched that man that day. I could see him almost like he was standing on the ground, clutches the ashes of hell. God's offering the beauty of heaven. He's clutching the ashes of hell. We won't take the time. Revelation 20, the last few verses talk about the great white throne judgment. You know what's amazing about that? Right after that account of the great white throne judgment, where all those that did not receive Christ is cast into hell, chapter 21 begins on the next verse telling about the new city, the holy Jerusalem, and giving us a sneak preview of heaven. You know, it's never plainer than any other place. I mean this. Listen, if you don't get saved today, do me this. Just do me this. Go home and read the book of Revelation. Read it. Read it. It's real. This isn't a comic book. It's real. Real stuff. It's going to happen. It's God telling you this is what's ahead. It's God saying, listen, I'm not hiding anything from you. This is what's going to happen in the future. That's why you ought to get saved. I want to tell you this closing illustration. I've heard this story. I love this story. I don't think I've ever used it in a sermon, to be honest with you. Maybe I have years ago. There was a story told, old illustration. Look right up here and listen to it. There was a story told about an old man that lived out in the Middle East. An old man, a very poor man, poverty-stricken man. Literally dressed in rags, sitting in filth. The only thing he had in the world was one little bag of rice. That's all he had. That's all he had. One little bag of rice. It was a filthy bag, and if you opened it up, actually it was just a rag that was tied together. But if you opened it up, the honest truth is, ladies, if you saw what was in that bag, even though it was food, even though it was substance, you would have thrown it out the door. It wasn't a whole lot of rice, and it was filthy, and the honest truth is it was even a little bug-ridden, but it's all that he had. As he's sitting by the road there, he sees this caravan come, and there's a rich Arabian sheikh that comes in all of his splendor, all of his possessions. He gets up close to the road because he thinks, well, maybe they'll have pity on me. Sure enough, when the camels go by and they're laden with all of these possessions, all of these riches, finally, the sheik comes by himself, and he sees the poor man. The poor man is straining, hoping to be seen, hoping for some mercy. The sheik calls him over and says, come here. And he comes over real quick, bows down at the feet of the sheik, and he said, the sheik looks down and says, what's in your bag? What's in your bag? And poor man kind of looked up puzzled. What's in your bag? He said, sir, it's just rice, sir. Master, it's just rice, just a little bit of rice. Give me your rice. What? What? Give me your rice. I want your rice. Give me your rice. And the man looked down and opened it up, and he thought, you know what? This man's going to go on down the road, and this is all I've got. Look at all that he has. He wants my rice? He said, sir, listen to me. Give me your rice. Give me your rice.
Finally, that poor man reached into his bag and took one little kernel of rice and handed it up to the sheik. And he looked at the one kernel of rice, and he looked at the man, and he got back on his camel, and he took off. And the man was so angry. Here it's all he had. And he came, and he offered him nothing. He just wanted what he had. The caravan continued on past. Finally, the last man on the last camel stepped down in front of the poor man and said, "I'm the treasure of the sheikh. I've received instruction that for every kernel of rice that you gave, I was to reward you." And he opened a bag that had little pieces of gold in it. And they're the same size as the kernels of rice. And he took one of them out and he put it in the hand of that man. And all of a sudden, that poor man looked at that little speck of gold. I mean, so small he could hardly see it. And he looked at that bag of filthy rice and he said, "You know what? I should have given him everything. I should have given him everything. I should have given him everything." Folks, I see lost people clutching the ashes of sin, the ashes of pride. I watch Christians after they get saved and they just want to hang on to the ashes of this world. You know what God says? "Give them to me, give them to me." But preacher, I feel like I'd miss so much. I feel like I have to give up so much. You know what you're giving up? You're giving up ashes. Ashes for beauty. Ashes for beauty. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Ashes for beauty. Ashes for beauty. Well, if I got saved, I wouldn't be able to do this. Oh, no, you don't give up anything. You trade in stuff. You trade in stuff. Those of us that are on the other side that's made our decisions, we look back and we laugh at ourselves. We laugh at our foolishness. We think, why in the world, for so many years, did we clutch onto ashes when God wanted to trade us all that we now have? Folks, listen to me. God's debtor to no man. There's no man in the world that's ever given God anything that God didn't abundantly pay them back more and more and more than they could have ever had they held on to what was theirs. He that loses his life shall find it. He that keepeth his life shall lose it. Let me address two groups of people. Number one, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, please listen to me. You heard the gospel preached. You heard the truth this morning. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to your heart. Preacher, while you were preaching, God was dealing with my heart, and I understand, I get it. If I died right now, I don't know what would happen. You talked about fear for peace. The honest truth is, there's many a night I lay awake wondering what would happen if I was to die, wondering about eternity. Preacher, I don't think I'm saved. I don't know what would happen if I died. I fear what might happen. I fear what might happen. But you told me the story of Jesus Christ this morning. Told me that he offers the free gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, promise of heaven. I don't have any of that. All I've got's ashes. Preacher, you mean if I'd come forward this morning and I'd bow my knee and I, with a repentant heart, would trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, out from heaven would ring the words, "Thy sins are forgiven"? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And you talk about a new creature, new life. Woo! It's the best thing that will ever have happened to you. All right, I'm here this morning, preacher, and if I died right now, I'm not for sure what would happen to me. I'm not sure. But God is speaking to my heart. By the way, we don't embarrass people here. I won't come down and get you. I won't call your name. I won't do anything to embarrass you, I promise you. But if you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I don't know what would happen if I was to die. I think that I need to be saved. I feel like I'm lost. But God is dealing with my heart. Just pray for me. And that's all I'll do. I'll just pray for you. Would you slip your hand up real quick? Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Anybody? Just slip your hand up real quick. Nobody's looking around. Let me see it. Preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? How about it, Christian? How about it? Well, preacher, I'm saved. Okay, good, good. I do see your hand. God bless you. I do see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I see your hand. Thank you. I am saved, but the honest truth is, you know what? I'm hanging on the ashes of this world. I'm just hanging on the ashes of this world. It's time for me to go to God and just give him everything. The whole filthy, bug-ridden bag of my life, just time to hand it over to the one that can Make it something wonderful that can take ashes and turn them into beauty. Preacher, as a Christian, God spoke to my heart, and I need to give Him some things. There's some things I've been holding back. I need to give Him. Would you raise your hand? There's some all over the auditorium. There's things all over the auditorium. There's some areas. There's some things. That, honest truth is, I've been holding on to. They're just ashes. They're just ashes, preacher. They're just ashes. God's going to bless you for that decision. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, I feel in my heart of hearts, dear God, that there's some folks here that are not saved. Lord, I believe that, Lord, I have your Spirit's leading on that. I believe maybe a couple raised their hand. Maybe others should have. I don't know, Lord. I'm not God. I can't read them. I can't read a man's heart. But, Lord, I don't want to see anybody walk out of here lost. I know the devil will sit on their shoulder and tell them every lie that he can tell them. He'll appeal to every fleshly desire. He'll try to appeal to their embarrassment. He'll say, no, you can't walk forward. You can't do that. But Holy Spirit of God, I would pray that your conviction and your power will be, and Lord, that you would do something mighty in their hearts. Just bring them to the point where they'll accept you. Lord, they'll exercise their free will and be saved. Please, God. For Christians that raise their hand, oh God, please. Help us, Lord, to give everything to you. Everything to you. What you can do with ashes is amazing. What you can do with ashes is amazing. Be with our invitation now, we pray in Jesus' name.